Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Apparently, starting your own business is all the rage again. This was in the Wall Street Journal recently. The threats and opportunities presented by artificial intelligence, apparently driving people to bet on themselves. We've got Julie Bauke here to comment on this. I'm not too surprised by this, Julie, but also I would think that in some regard, AI actually is making people more confident to go out on their own. I don't know what you think.
You know, what's so interesting, I love to take kind of a historical perspective, or at least a historical perspective based on how long I've been doing this. But there's three times, let's see, one, two, three, this will be the fourth time I'm seeing a bump like this. Oh, no, 2001.
One, two, three, four. I just love when you count out loud.
I know. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 9/11, after 9/11, I saw people pursue different routes of employment versus, you know, just instead of just relying on corporate, because they had to, because the job market really shut down for quite a while after 9/11. 2008, the Great Recession of 2008, same thing. There were literally, I'm going to say literally no jobs. Of course there were, but that's probably the worst I've ever seen. Then COVID hits and people started things like side hustles and they did some other things. They walked away from corporate America. And some people did lose their jobs or things really changed. They took on extra jobs. There were even people who tried to do two full-time jobs, which is insane because they felt like they could. This is different. Okay. There are different elements in this that exist than existed then. First of all, we have in all three of those cases, there was much more of a, I have to do this than I want to do this. This time, we have the younger generations who are not very happy with corporate life, and most of us who've been around can say we don't blame them. And so there's a growing dissatisfaction with corporate life. There is a lack of jobs, and so those two things together. And then third, this independence and the ability to rely on yourselves, things like AI and other technology tools have led the way for people to they've taken some of the barriers away, I would say, some of the how-tos. This Wall Street Journal article that we're referencing is so interesting because it talks about how the democratization of starting businesses, for many of us, the technology piece, I don't really know how to do that, or I don't know, this is too much. I don't have time to do this. Well, now there's tools that can do some of those harder parts. And so the barriers of entry in terms of setting up a quick website, setting up the communication tools, setting up even creating businesses using some of the AI tools that are available is much more available and easy to access. Mm-hmm. And so there's this. And so it's again, like you said, not surprised, because it's really about that pendulum swings back and forth. And part of it truly is people saying, I'm so sick of corporate America. I thought there was a modicum of stability there at some point, but that has certainly been dashed here in the last couple of years. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see this trend continue.
Well, and it's interesting because in this article, it says nationally there were 532,000 plus new business applications in January, according to a Census Bureau, which was more than 36%. Above where we were a year earlier. And
just a year ago.
Just a year ago. And part of that, Julie, is, you know, we talk a lot about the fears of AI, but to be honest, I think that this next generation also knows, listen, I paid for my college education, or I went to a technical high school, or I know what my skills are. And by the way, I grew up knowing more tech than any other generation out there. Why can't I do this by myself? I mean, there is a bit of that. Yep. Hey, I actually have the upper hand than even corporate America to some degree, because what's interesting is a lot of the people in corporate America are hiring the young people who are techies, who understand it, to do that and to make them relevant. But there are some, I'm not kids, I don't want to call them kids, but younger people, youth, who are realizing, wait a minute, I just have to get, to me, this is the part where you can either make it or break it. they have to, I think, understand the business sense. So they can start the business. They have probably a $1 million idea. But how you still roll that out, I think that's the part where it needs to be executed properly. So you could probably go out on your own. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I think you have the comfort of knowing when I'm with a company or I'm with a business that's been around for, you know, generations or decades or what have you, they know what they're doing. They're not going to crumble tomorrow. Most are not going to. However, you have that, I'm not sure, is AI going to take my job? Or I'm not sure if they're really going to keep me, no matter what I think my value is. So that's where you get that comfort in starting your own business. But there are strengths to both, I think, and there are weaknesses
to
both.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And we're not all wired for either.
Yeah,
there are
no
certainly
kidding.
People who say, that isn't me. And then there are other people saying, why wouldn't I bet on me? And then there's a lot of people in the middle. What's so interesting is the difference between, even if you talk about millennials, they are, let's see, in their 30s, early 30s, and I think to early 40s, mid 40s, they are so different from Gen Z. The difference in the digital native status of them, and then Gen Alpha, which is the one after Gen Z, they are almost their own category, very different. So you see somebody in their 30s, they're millennials, but they are, sometimes we lump all people that we consider young into one category, but they are very different. It's really Gen Z, Gen Alpha. And when we say, I want to point something out too, Melissa, when we say 36 or 37% more applications for startups or business registries in the last year, some of those are going to be side hustles. People that say, you know what, I'm going to start something over here because I'm in corporate America and I don't like what I see. I don't think this company is stable. I don't trust this organization. I just don't like what corporate America offers. And so I'm going to keep my corporate America job, but I'm going to start something over here on the side that I can work on outside of my 9-to-5 job and build so that someday I can make that leap to having something on my own. And so that's what a lot of this is I'm not going to be content with. I'm not putting all my eggs into one basket that really feels a lot of days, especially when we keep hearing about all these layoffs, really feels like it's out of my control. And that's not something we felt in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s.
So we're chatting with career strategist Julie Bauke. Starting your own business is all the rage again. It was a headline in the Wall Street Journal talking about how more and more people are trying to go out on their own. And you can understand why. But Julie, how do you do that effectively? You know, it's something that it was mentioned in there. They were talking about LinkedIn was something. So I would imagine kind of networking, having the right people surround you. But how do you effectively start on your own?
Yeah, the first thing you should never do is just start on your own. You know, I think that there are so many, in many communities, there's organizations like SCORE, which is retired executives that mentor and volunteer to help young business owners with the stuff maybe you're not good at. So, and there's also other mentoring groups, chambers of commerce offer services. There's plenty of online resources for how to start a business. So there's this phrase I've always heard, you've got to know how to work in the business and on the business. And so if you are making cupcakes, if you are providing IT support to maybe people who live in retirement communities, whatever your niche is going to be, you have to, I think the starting point is you have to have a level of knowledge about what you're trying to do and a level of skill. And that's not enough. And that's where a lot of people get stuck, is that I might make the best cupcakes in town, but what I didn't do, maybe as a start, was figure out, is that a viable business? Have I run the numbers? Do I know how much I can charge for a cupcake? How much this market will bear? How am I going to handle overflow? Well, how about accounting? How about, you know, filing my taxes? How about all the stuff that a lot of times people who have a real entrepreneurial spirit don't like to do? So how can you partner with and get guidance from people who've already been there and done that, maybe made the mistakes, people who are doing it successfully? So how do you build a team of people? So to me, building a team of people around you that can shorten your learning curve is a great way to start. Research other businesses like yours. this other businesses with the same target customers. They might not even be selling or doing the same thing, but they might be targeting the same audience. So you have to become, instead of I've got this great idea, I'm putting my entire 401k into it, you really have to take a breath, take a step back, and start partnering and meeting with people and becoming curious about what is a successful IT consulting business, cupcake business, whatever it is, look like? And then how do I grow in a way that is at the appropriate pace? And be ready, because if you're working a full-time job, you have the luxury of doing that, even though your time may be limited. You have the ability to go slow and learn at each step. Instead of deciding that you have this great idea, you know, I've talked to so many entrepreneurs who say, yeah, this is a great idea. Look at this. Isn't this a great idea? Yes, it might be. But the big question is, are people going to be willing to pay for it? Is it a necessity? Is it a luxury? Are you making someone's life? Are you making life better? Or is this, we can get real stars in our eyes when we're convinced that we have the idea that's going to change the world. And maybe you do, but partner with people, listen to people who disagree with you, and really go slowly so that you can make sure you're building something that not only is going to be successful, but you're actually going to enjoy. You might love baking cupcakes for your friends, but it doesn't mean you're going to love doing it on a full-time basis. So
it also, right. Hobby. It also doesn't, to your point, Julie, it doesn't translate to that everybody's going to like it. So just because your 20 friends or your family members love it every Thanksgiving that you make this doesn't mean that it is a viable business. The other thing, though, too, Julie, on the other side of this is if you are a corporation, a company, and you fear that you will lose good talent or that you could have great talent, but they would rather go the make my own business route, what can you do to kind of also get more with the times and I think encourage more ideas or getting more tech savvy, right? I mean, because there's two sides to this, right? I mean, it's not just going the route of, I got to go on my own. I'm not protected. I mean, and that could even be that you don't have to change your business model, but man, you have to let your employees know that you're not just a number. You're not just a paycheck away from being replaced, right? I mean, I think there's also things that corporate America, to some degree, could also do to bring, not that I want the number of entrepreneurs to go down. That's not what I'm saying. But I think when you see more and more people going that route, especially because they're like, hey, I'll take the risk. I'll invest all my money. I'll sell the house for this. Right. I mean, how can you avoid that and maybe compromise and be able to attract some of that talent to your company?
I'm going to need a moment. I'm so proud of you, Melissa, my little student. You're sounding like me now.
Well, you know, Julie, exactly, listen, what do they say? It's like wax on, wax off, right? You're Mr. Miyagi in my life. I'm getting it. I'm the karate kid, except I'm the career kid. That's me. I'm your career kid. There you go.
Actually, Melissa, that is a fantastic point. I think that if your organization is a do what I say and don't ask questions, I'm paying you, so I don't want to hear your ideas. I'm smarter. I have a better title. If anything in your organization smacks of that, you will get exactly what you deserve, which is people who are just going to do the bare minimum, just do what they're told. And you're really shutting out a great source of good ideas and thinking that is outside of maybe what thinking from the people who are so close to the work being done that they see things that maybe upper management doesn't. And so what sort of just popped into my mind was back in the 80s, the suggestion box, which is, so funny now to think about it. You put a little piece of paper in a box. But how do you open up? How do you encourage dialogue? How do you get ideas and thinking from the front lines, from people who are actually doing the work? And then how are you actually exploring those? And are you encouraging those, or are you the type of leader, the type of company that says, just do what I say, I'll do the thinking here? And, I remember hearing a story one time about a leader standing in front of his people saying, I'm really open to all ideas, all suggestions. We really want that open dialogue, blah, blah, blah. And it was like an in-person meeting. And someone raised their hand and asked a question or made a suggestion, and he shut them down so hard and so fast and was then surprised that nobody else had any other questions.
Right.
Or had any other thoughts. And so not every idea is a good one, but also I would tell management leadership, you don't have all the good ideas.
Yeah, you got to compromise. I'm just saying. And again, it's not to say that one way is better than the other. But it's just so interesting, Julie, that you can see the statistics in front of you. And like you said, the pendulum will swing constantly. That's inevitable. But when you have these very obvious, I always use this analogy, but it's so true. You know, it quacks like a duck. It walks like a duck. It's got to be a duck, but we call it a chicken. And I never understand that. You know what I mean? I don't get that. It's like if you want to attract younger workers, you want to have more tech savvy, you want to, you know, make your business relevant in this day and age, I never understand why that doesn't include in the plans, well, maybe I got to change things up, or maybe I got to look at things that are archaic and could be, you know, improved, not even changed entirely, but just improved, or more collaboration, or you are going to keep losing the next generation. You just are. And it's not to say that they're going to do better on their own, but it does kind of waste your it wastes your time kind of waiting for them to figure it out or to watch them be more successful than you could have been. It just doesn't make sense to me. I never get that. It seems very logical.
Yeah.
I know
of a small business owner who has literally lost 100% of the people he's hired in less than a year, 12 to 18 months, everybody leaves. And do you know what he says? Mm. You just can't hire people who just can't find people who want to work anymore. Dude, no.
Bro, that's not what's happening here.
I happen to know some of them. He's horrible. The way he leads but it's threatening sometimes to people who are business owners or people who are at a higher level because they have convinced themselves that they've been promoted because they are the smartest one. They do know everything. And it's really threatening for them to have an idea that came from somebody that's a couple levels down. And sometimes we don't reward the right things as senior leadership. You should be encouraging to get the best from your team, not to put your thumb down on them hard, and so that therefore they look for you to be the wise one in every situation.
Yeah, that to me is when I say that's a you problem, I don't mean you, Julie, but I always think, you know, to hear that is just a you problem. I mean, I will never understand why we need to have an ego with where if the goal here is to make money, right? I mean, let's just get down right to it. The goal is to make money. I don't know why else anybody else would be in business. Even if you're a nonprofit, you need to make money to give back to whatever that organization is or whatever you're trying to raise money for. Right? If the goal is to make money, don't you want to do it? Who cares who came up with the idea? I never understand why ego is more important than getting to the goal, which is to have a successful business place. So you're spot on always, Julie, which is why we have you on a weekly basis. Julie Bauke, always appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we will talk again next week.